Good morning. Welcome to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. I didn't give you a chance to respond. Paul always gives. Okay, let's do the test. Good morning.
Good morning.
So those who are here in the congregation, our pastor always kind of gauges how they respond to how alert they are. So they're pretty good today. And we do welcome you into the fellowship with us. And our pastor is on vacation. It's the last weekend of the summer season, and a lot of people are traveling, trying to get that last little holiday in. So we left him go. We allowed him to go, and we're here to worship with you. He always starts with a joke, and I hesitate to do this because if you don't laugh, I'll be embarrassed. I don't tell jokes very well, but there's one joke I heard. I may have told it before to the congregation, but there was a gentleman out in California, and just for a visit, and he was speeding and got pulled over by state police. So the policeman said, "Sir, where are you going in such a big hurry?" And he said, "Oh, I'm headed to San Jose." He said, "Oh, sir, you don't mean San Jose." He said, "Out here, we say our J's as H's, and it's San Jose." And he said, "Okay." And he said, "How long do you think you'll be in this area?" And he said, "Oh, I'll be here to sometime in Hoon or Hulai." Thank you for laughing, but isn't that cute? He was just listening. He said, "The J's are H's," but I think that's cute. But thank you for laughing. Today I've been, Paul said about, did I want to do this? I don't always do it. We have other people. But I did feel led to speak to you, so I pray that the Lord will give me the words, and I know he will. The title of the sermon is "He is Faithful," and I was inspired by the hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," of his faithfulness to us. And it's a beautiful thing to know that we have a God who is always there for us. So pray that you will be blessed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do lift this sermon up to you, that you would give me the words that you want me to say, and help us, Lord, to appreciate even more what you do for us and how you're always there for us. We thank you, Lord, for the many, many times we've gone through the deep waters, or we've gone through the fires, or we've had mountains to climb, and you've always been there to give the strength and to bring us through. And you said you'd always be there. So we thank you, Lord. Pray that a blessing on the word of God. The man who wrote "Great is Thy Faithfulness," I tried to find, you know how a lot of people have a dramatic story. And so I looked it up, and they said, well, there was no real dramatic story, but that he was impressed by the scriptures and Lamentations about the faithfulness of God. And then, of course, he said, you know, each day you get up and there, you know, we have new things to face. So I'm going to read the scripture from Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. And actually, I'm going to start at 21. And if you're afraid you can't find it, it's right after Jeremiah. And I'm ashamed to say I didn't realize that Lamentations is from Jeremiah. Jeremiah, these are his Lamentations, and I never knew that in all the years I've read these scriptures. So, I'm going to start at 21, actually. "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Now, to me, I think I can see why the man was impressed. And then there are other scriptures also that the next one, it's in Deuteronomy, which is way back. And I even wrote it down. I do have it, I think, marked, but I'm going to read it, because sometimes flipping back and forth gets tedious. It's Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. "Know therefore that the Lord, he is God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to thousands generations. So he gives us a promise, and in that verse, we are responsible to be obedient to him. So as long as we are in his graces, and he will be with us no matter what we face. So what I'd like to do is start with the first verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness, and I'm just going to read it. And at the end of the service, we will sing it. But the first verse says, Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. Did you just hear that? And it says, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. And when you are thinking about that God does not change, it says, thou changest not. And in Hebrews, 13:8, we find that God is always the same. And Jesus, who is, part of God, Hebrews 13:8, you don't have to turn there. It's just one verse. Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. We change. We go through times where we're probably not as close as we should be to him, but it doesn't mean that we have fallen away. We are just maybe not as close as we need to be. In Psalm, this is forever faithfulness, Psalm 119:89, and I mark them. I always get confused when I mark them, so we'll see. It's 119:89-90. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. So everything that I looked up about faithfulness, the words of mercy and forgiveness and all of the things that go along with the wonderful attributes of our God go in with faithfulness. And, we need to be faithful also to him as he is faithful to us. And he does not change. Then the verse that says, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he will be faithful, but we must obey him. I'll go back. The story about Moses, I was debating, and I'll do some about Moses, and then I want to talk about our friend Noah. Randy said something about the rainbow, and of course that's our promise of the covenant he made with Noah many, many, many years ago, and we still see the rainbow. lost my train of thought. Oh, Moses. Okay, when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, we all know the story. They grumbled and they complained and they weren't happy. And they said, you brought us out here for us to die. And all of the things that they complained about, and Moses would go to God and intercede for them and get them help that they need. He fed them. He gave them water. He protected them in battle. And I just like this story, that it wasn't too long after they got in the wilderness that they were attacked by the Amalekites. And when they were in battle, of course, God said he would be with them. And he told Moses to stretch his arm out and his staff and to hold his arm up. And as long as Moses did that, they won. As soon as he was getting tired. You can't do that forever, right? So when he would let his arms down, they would start to lose. And Aaron, and I forget who the other person was, came and held his arm up. And as long as he had his arm up, they won. And they won that battle because God was with them. But see, Moses had to be obedient. Even though you think, how can you do that? But see, God will help us in the situations that we need help. But I thought that was beautiful. And then, of course, he gave them a cloud to guide them in the day and the pillar of fire at night so they could find their way. And, you know, God didn't bring them out there for them to die. He loved those people. He had this covenant with them that he never, ever, ever forgot. So we know that God is God. And he's still the same. He's the same God who parted the sea and gave them the food every day, gave them water, and did marvelous things. And when the Ark of the Covenant was in the camp of the Israelites, they always won their battles because that was where all the important things from God and his covenant. Because at one time, the covenant was in those things. The Ark of the Covenant symbolized the covenant between God and his people. And as long as they kept that, now, of course, the covenant is written in our hearts. So we can have the presence of God all the time. We don't have to have a certain box or a certain thing in our life. It's in our hearts. Okay? The other thing is that when Noah and his family came off of the ark, of course we know that God destroyed everyone but Noah's family, and then of course the animals that were on the ark, that he again gave a covenant. And that is the story where we get the rainbow. And I want to look back in Genesis. And Genesis 8:22, and then there are 9 through 17. And I think I'll read 9 through 17 first. And behold, I establish my covenant with you and your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of the beasts of the earth, with you, from all that go in out of the ark, to every beast of the earth, to every living creature, basically. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more of flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, never-ending generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature and all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is my token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Can't make it any plainer than that, can you? He loved his people. He saved them so that life would go on. You know, if he would have destroyed them, the earth would have been destroyed and never come back. But God saw fit to bring us all back to him and keep us going as a civilization. And then in 8:28 or 8:22, it says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. You know, there's some things we depend on every day. When we get up in the morning, we know it might not be a sunny day, but we know that the sun comes up, don't we? It just does. I don't care. You know, I had to laugh. Somebody said, I don't remember who they were saying about, how people try, Well, we say when the fall comes and the days, we say the days get shorter. Well, the days don't really get shorter except for, you know, as nature says. It's not because of our clocks. We'll say about setting the clocks so that we make us have longer days in the spring. But you really don't. It's whatever is in nature, what is allotted for the daylight that day. And when I was teaching school, I remember I got the idea to show the kids how gradual that was for the time to change and the amount of daylight. And so we started in the paper at that time. They would have a chart, and it would say, it would always tell you when sun was coming up and the exact time when it was going down. And every day, like, it changed a minute in the evening, a minute in the morning. And it was just very, very gradual. But we know that's going to happen. You know, we can depend on anything. Nature brings, you know, to mind many, many things that we depend on every day. We know we don't have to say, now, I wonder if the sun's going to come up. We don't do that. Now, when there's a storm, I'm always looking for a rainbow, and sometimes we don't always see them. That doesn't mean they're not there, because God is faithful. And it was interesting, I thought, too, in Psalm 36:5, it says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains, thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, children of men, put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." So we know that there are things that are going to happen and God is in control. Sometimes we think, how long can we go on with the way things are in this world? But it's so wonderful that we have this constant caring from a loving God who is always there. And he could allow a lot of things to happen. There are a lot of things that could have happened to the Israelites. He could have just said, well, here, you know, you disobeyed me and you did not trust me, and I'll just let you go. But he didn't. He has that forgiving love that he never, never gives up. So he has this undying love. The second verse has to do with 8:22 in Genesis. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to the great faithfulness, mercy, and love. And, you know, like I said, we know the sun's coming up. We know it's going to set. We know that if you're in some places in the world, the sun stays up for 24 hours a day sometime, but we don't live in that. We live in where we have our seasons and our different times, but we know that there's an order. You know, it says about sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. They have a certain path. We have a certain path. God has a path and a plan for us, just like when he set nature, when he set all of the things in the heavens. And what I think is interesting in that Psalm 36:5, it says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds." And I kind of think, you know, yes, he has that faithfulness that he shows us. So when we see the clouds, thinking that, you know, God is with us. And then when we look in the clouds and we see the rainbow, we know that he's made that covenant and he will never leave us. We might leave him, but he will not ever leave us. So, the third verse. "Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside." And we know that without Jesus coming to this earth and paying the debt, you know, in the Old Testament, they had to do sacrifices. And we sang that song about the sacrifice of praise. And I used to think, oh, why would we say it's a sacrifice? But, you know, sometimes you get tired, like Moses got tired of having his hands in the air and having his arm outstretched. But God gave him strength to continue. But we get weary, and we might come in this morning, maybe you didn't feel like you really felt very good today. But we're here, and we praise God, and the more that we do give him that sacrifice of praise, the more he will encourage us in our spirit. So don't forget to praise the Lord, even when you don't feel like it. And, you know, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So God can give a joy no matter what you're going through. And people will say, oh, well, you didn't seem like you really, that didn't bother you or whatever. But that doesn't say that you're not hurting inside, but that God gives you the joy to overcome it. And that joy and that peace only comes from him. And he said he would be there all the time. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He's always there. So in John chapter 1, 17, says, for the law was given through Moses, God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Think about that. In the Old Testament, they had the law to follow. They had to do certain things. They had to had consequences for breaking the law, too. Under the law, you know, they were very strict. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And adulterers were stoned. You know, they took them out and stoned them. They didn't take them and say, well, you know, you need to stop doing this or whatever. I mean, they actually would do that. That's one thing that stuck with me. We went up to see the Christmas Story at Sight and Sound one year. And the whole beginning of that story was about Mary getting pregnant as a young unmarried person. Because if Joseph would not have taken, they would have stoned her. Because she was not married. She had not been with a man. And they don't, well, you know, they didn't believe that. The unbelievers, they didn't believe any of that stuff. But, you know, God brought Jesus Christ into this world. He had the plan. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And as I look back, I pray that you've had, I know God has been terrifically good to me. And I've had problems like everybody else. But when I look at how he ordered my life and gave me opportunities that I wouldn't have had without him, and I know that. There's a little song that says, without him, I am nothing. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, I would be, what does it say? Something about being on the ship, on the sea, being lost. We would just be lost without him. Okay, I can't remember the right words, naturally. But God, just like he, if he cares enough to, now think about, okay, just take this for granted, or for a thought, okay. When God created the solar system, okay, well, people didn't, they argued about what revolved around what and all of that. Of course, they found out that we were revolving around the sun. Now, why don't we run into each other? Why doesn't the Earth run into Mercury? Why don't we, you know, we all have a path. And they need to stay in that path, in that orbit. Or they would crash into each other. We might crash into the sun, which, you know, that would be the end of everything. But God does have a plan for you, a plan for me. And we need to acknowledge that and ask him to keep you on the path that he has made for you. Because if you follow the leading of God, you can't go wrong. You just can't. I mean, you're going to have issues. You're going to have bad times. Things are going to happen and you don't understand why. But I do believe that God has a plan, even in the bad times, even when we think there's no way out, that little song, he will make a way. When you think there is no way. He's working in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. Thank you, Lord. That blesses my heart. I hope it blesses yours. And just to remember that God, no matter how, you know, we look at this world, we know it's not a good time in our world. There's so many diseases and so many tragedies. We have war. You know, the Bible said there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be pestilence. There will be earthquakes in diverse places. And think of all the, you know, the bad things. I mean, not that they haven't happened before, and we're more aware of it because we have media that we can see these things. And before, if you read it in the paper 2 weeks later that there was an earthquake somewhere, you know, it's not as upfront to you, you know. But every day the news is on and you can listen to that news. And it's not a whole lot of good stuff, happy stuff happening. So through it all, we need to remember that Jesus has it all in control. And he is the salvation of our souls. He gives us peace, and the Holy Spirit can dwell. He sent the Holy Spirit when he left here, that he would comfort us. He called the Holy Spirit the Comforter, that the Comforter would come and dwell among us. So we just need to trust him always, and we need to be faithful to him as he is faithful to us. And he will be forever, to thousands of generations, it says. He's not going to end. And in Revelation says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We don't know how God came into existence. I guess we'll never know that. He just has always been. And I just know that we can rest in the faithfulness of God. And the refrain for the song says, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me and to you, to all of us. He's always there. Don't forget it. So when you get down, don't give up. Say, give, instead of giving up, look up, for our redemption draweth nigh, that God is there. He's in the clouds. He set the bow in the clouds. And it's still, we can still see a rainbow. It's a glory when you see a rainbow, because it's just like, yes, yes. And all of the things blooming and growing and the blessings of this earth to us through God. And I guess my word to you is to just never give up. No matter how bad things seem to be, we need to look to him. And he will answer our prayers. Might not be the way we want it answered, but he will get us through the rough times. And he will bless us in the good times. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, for your word and the faithfulness that you have shown to all generations, Lord. And we know that you're always going to be there, that you cannot be destroyed. We know that you will be with us, and no matter what we face each day, we know that, God, you are with us. You promised us that you would be there, and we know that you keep your promises. Lord, I pray a blessing on this word, that we would put it in our hearts and let it encourage our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.